Being a Game Reviewer Behind the Scenes, Part 4, There Can Be Only One. Read and narrated by Carrick from ACG, additional sounds provided by Random Orifices, and brought to you by Sniffle House Wiffle Scorn Books. Copyright 2019. Being a Game Reviewer Behind the Scenes, Part 4, There Can Be Only One. He looked out over the tide of YouTube comments, accolades, criticisms, complaints, compliments, and kudos. But one comment struck out from someone with a username combining a vagina, a giant robot, and an ancient dinosaur. Ignoring the obvious psychological help that the user needed, Carrick read the words to himself a couple times to make sure he wasn't mistaken. But no he wasn't. The commenter simply stated, "I wish all other reviewers would die and just go away. ACG is all we need." And Carrick thought to himself, "Well, that's not good." And it actually isn't. This is actually not something I wanted. When I came back from GDC, I got to meet a lot of cool people. I got to meet a lot of reviewers. I got to meet a lot of press people. Got to meet some great fans. By the way, shout out there to that one bearded fool who yelled at me across the street and ended up getting to meet him, talk to him, and stuff like that. It was very fun. Those are always really enjoyable. But this is actually not something I want to hear. And I want to describe to you why it's not. When I got into reviewing, I wanted to do things like cover more about a game. I wanted to cover sound, music, and voice because they hadn't been covered. I wanted to cover Fun Factor because, well, a couple different channels, well, not necessarily channels, but a couple different press outlets and magazines did cover it. It wasn't really discussed a lot. And, you know, when you look at games and you look at titles out there, they may not have the best graphics or the best sound or the best music or even the best gameplay a lot of times, but something about them is very fun. And to me, that is really the core of a game. I just recently reviewed Surge 2, and I discussed this very thing in Surge 2's reviews, that despite its technical issues, I absolutely adored the gameplay loop. So when I looked out at these other review systems, I decided there's a lot of things I want to cover, and I want to go into detail in them, and also just give games a larger voice. Now, one of the reasons why I bring up the not filled with sponsored bullcrap and 2 minutes long thing, and I get a lot of crap about the 2 minutes long thing. People are like, there's no videos reviews that are even shorter than 4 minutes. Well, let me actually entertain you for a second. Not only are there many reviews that are shorter than that, we actually have one or two major publications that are doing YouTube videos where they actually state very clearly that it's going to be shorter than that. This is something that when I came into gaming, we had a lot of big name systems out there, big name companies that were doing very short reviews for very, very long games. One of the titles I brought up was Witcher, where you would have half a page and two screenshots to describe what is, to me at least, a considerably complex game, especially when you look at it through the story, the activities that you're doing, and the various different systems. So I wanted to bring all this into gaming, but I did not actually want to be the only gamer. I mean, it's great to be loved, it's great to be liked. It's the same to me, though, when it comes down to it, as being hated. I'm usually one of those people. I've talked about this in the prior podcast. If anybody says, "Absolutely love you," I usually assume they'll be the first to leave because of that emotion that they bring into the comment. But I wanted to get into games and talk about these things and extend the knowledge base about a game, especially when you look at a game. Let's say you have a game that's 60 hours long. Unless your review is 2 to 3 hours long, you will not be able to cover everything in the game. You won't be able to cover the end gameplay loop. You won't be able to cover the mechanics and how the different skills and different traits and attributes change, let's say, between your starting to your mid game to your end game, because you'd need to talk about all that. There's tons of data out there, and I've always wanted people to just do more data versus just being gone. And I didn't like comments like this, and it actually did bother me. It's something that, you know, it sounds like a kudo, but it's actually quite worrisome when you think about it, because what it does is it's really the opposite of what was occurring prior when somebody was like, let's say, looking at a large website and saying they're the only ones that need to do reviews. That's actually incorrect, and it would have stopped me from getting in. So I can't basically start doing reviews and then the moment somebody says that to me, be like, yeah, you know what? You're right. Let me sit on my throne made of ego and the fucking futures or careers of past YouTubers and past websites and past publications and not allow them to do anything. They should be able to. Everybody should be able to. It's just you need to supply a lot of context in your review, especially if you're reviewing something for money and you're telling somebody if you feel it's worth it. This is also what sort of started that I'm going to buy the game as well kind of thing, because I did want to buy the game. I wanted my money on the line. And I see a lot of people defend free trips and free swag and free preview events, and it's something I've just never been able to do. And all this sort of ties into why I started the channel. When I looked at things. I could never really understand how I could trust, let's say, an impressions or a preview event if somebody didn't pay their hard-earned money to see something. And one of the reasons why that is because humans really do work on a risk versus reward system. This is something that you can't argue. You could pretend to argue it, but what you really be doing is just sounding like a jackass, because that's actually not only how evolution works, but it's actually how all of society works on a monetary system. So if you ever hear somebody trying to say, oh no, it absolutely doesn't affect me, they're completely wrong. Of course it would. Even if in the absence of the effect, by them pushing against it and knowing that they got something for free, being harder on the game. That's one of the problems when you ever try to argue a point. It's something that I learned when I was younger and something you learn in debate class, which is that you don't necessarily just want somebody with a weak defense to your argument. What you actually want is somebody with an incredibly strong defense so you can still defeat it. An incredibly strong stance. You want to look at it from their element, their aspects, their view, and then be able to twist it and understand it from your view and explain it away and maybe learn something yourself, because you know what? We can always be wrong. But that's something that I always felt, was that psychologically speaking, the human brain works a particular way, and you're not just going to magically fix it. You're not just going to magically change just because you say you are. So I always believed that if I put my hard-earned cash on the line, that's still $60. Additionally, when it comes to previews, you know, I've only done very few previews in my life. I think maybe 3 or 4 overall, and only one event, maybe 2. And I paid for every bit of those events. And the reason why is because I just felt that, you know, if I'm paying to go see this thing, it's my money, it's my worth, it's coming from me. What will I feel? What will I think when I see something if I know it's just all handed to me? Admittedly, they did buy pizza. By the way, it's absolutely terrible at one of the events we went to. So this is all sort of combined into this, where I felt that, you know, everybody should be able to, as long as they offer context, be able to say what they want about a game. And I personally feel that you'll get a lot of people who are pretending that they're the only ones who know the truth. You'll get that. You'll get conspiracy theorists. They're like, I'm the only person who should be able to tell you if this is worth it or not. I'm the only this. They're completely nuts. That is ego gone wrong. It's a conspiracy theory that is really harmful to the games themselves as well, because what happens is it only requires 1 or 2 times for anybody who thinks that way to be wrong or to not, you know, check something or not understand. And then the people who have been watching them, they may believe that, but that person is actually, or those people are actually incorrect, and it can cause an issue with a game. And my personal belief is that the best way to do things is to actually offer factual context about the game versus just a bunch of blathering bullshit. So putting all this together, I saw this comment and I sat and I was talking to some friends about it. We always do, you know, about once a month we do game days. And back then we were doing them even more. And I was sitting there and I was going like, you know, I love that people like the stuff, but this is not actually what I'm looking for. I'm just looking for maybe a little bit of a cleanup on this side, maybe a little bit of an adjustment or change, a little bit more context from people. And honestly, people to just admit that, yeah, you know, you can't get something for free and pretend it doesn't affect you. And a lot of that stuff, to be honest, hasn't really happened. I've seen, in fact, I talked about this with Total Biscuit before he passed away. You know, we both had some particular thoughts about some of these events, and he did things that I didn't do because he was so large as a channel. And we talked about how he offset those thoughts, how he offset what he got versus what he said about things. And even he would admit at times that, you know, he was almost overly cynical at times because he was, so there was this sort of mental thought process that was going around about making sure that you were fair. And by making sure that you're fair, which I think we all should do, at times it's easier to go a little bit harsher if you did get something for free. So all this comes up and I decide, you know, what am I going to do? Well, this is really one of multiple times where I've found that the best way to do good at my job is just to continue to create. This has happened when any hardship comes up in my personal life, any hardship on YouTube comes up, when I get demonetized, which now happens all the time. By the way, check out the Patreon. It's always amazing just how easily I get out of those issues by continuing to create. And that's what I did. I saw this and I was like, you know what, whatever. I'm not going to worry about it. It's one person on YouTube who, you know, wants everybody to die, which is just, you get those kind of comments all the time. I'm just going to continue to create content at this time. And coming back from GDC, seeing that and sort of identifying what I wanted to do, I jumped back into an overarching thought process for how I wanted to do things. So I raided the game industry. That was very fun. I just did some random videos there. I did a couple news events videos. I did some behind the scenes for a couple games. And I really did just bounce around at the same time, really understanding that the best way to do things was to do reviews. And then that side content I knew was never going to succeed, at least nearly as much as the reviews. But I was going to continue to do it because it is a part of creation. And I think doing that creation sort of allows for your brain to defrag. At this time, I was also doing some views and some videos about my thoughts on news that was coming up. Batman Arkham Knight Season Pass, which I thought was a ripoff, I did a view of, or a review, not a review for, sorry, more like a video. I did some stuff for various missions on some games and just sort of bounced around. And this was also a time where I want to start talking about meeting people and that, you know, there can be only one. I got to meet a lot of people behind the scenes when I was at GDC and talk to them, see what they liked about my videos, see what they liked about others, what they didn't like about mine, and what they didn't like about others. And it was, I guess, to me, one of the better events that I ever went to, because the couple people I did talk to who knew who I was, they knew in a way where I could tell that they genuinely appreciated it. And they knew particular parts of reviews that I didn't expect. For example, I went to one event. And we were looking at a D&D game for a company that unfortunately has gone away now. But we looked at it and we were sitting down and we were talking to him. And I was asking him questions. And one of the guys came over and he's like, "You're Carrick from ACG, aren't you?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Hey, I just want you to know, I watched your review on this other game. And by the way, I didn't have an event meeting with them. So they weren't pre-scanning that I was going to come. And he said, I watched this video of yours that was on another game. And I want to say, I really appreciate you, how deeply you went into the sound, music, and voice, because I'm actually a voice actor on the side as well as a developer. And no one covers that kind of stuff. And I really want to say how I appreciate it." And it was nice to see that, nice to hear that, because what it did is it gave me the realization, something I already knew, but you know something, but without backup, at times you don't know how big or how much of an issue it was. It was nice to hear it from multiple people at the event, because I realized that what I thought, which is that people were paying attention, was not only true about that, but that they were true about paying attention to other games. And this is something that a lot of people don't realize what happens, and we certainly need to talk about it, which is that when it comes to YouTube, when it comes to Twitch, when it comes to game developers, when it comes to publishers, they switch places a lot of times. YouTubers become video game developers quite a bit. They'll start doing stuff on the side. Maybe they were making a game videos and then somebody's like, "Hey, I like your technical prowess and how you describe things. Do you want to come on board? Maybe just give us some help." They do some help and then pretty soon they're in QA or something like that. And you get this osmosis that occurs. And I think it's very important that we all remember that those kind of things can happen. There's a sharing of data and a sharing of information. And this was also at a time where I really did learn that, you know, like PR will talk to each other. This is something I always warn people who are starting a YouTube channel. I'm like, listen, you may have an issue with PR, and I'm going to talk about some shitty PR experiences I've had, not calling out names. Well, in fact, I can't remember a couple of these names, but experiences that I've had. But you get these times where you realize that, you know, somebody may have been working with you for PR on one game. Now they're working for a third party group that handles multiple games. And I've seen PR people that I've worked with change different companies 4, 5, 6 times, because it is a quite fluid overall organization when it comes to just one company, because like a third party company, they may handle 5 or 6 games. That's very fluid. This person might jump from an RPG to a racing game. But also when it comes to the actual jobs themselves, and there's a dynamic feel to a lot of PR jobs where you'll see somebody working PR for a small company, then a bigger company, then they'll jump, then they'll make their own. Our own Cosmic Engine, who is a YouTuber who used to do reviews, runs his own PR company now for games. That's just how much of a change can occur depending on what you're doing and how you're delivering your data and the contacts you make. So it's very important that you understand that when you're dealing with people, because I think it's always good to be nice, but at the same time, it's always, I think, just good to understand the underlying basics of the companies, the way everything works and the way the business itself works. So we jump forward. I'm starting to cover a bunch of stuff, and really one of the major events that I had was Witcher 3. And I even did a thing like, what the hell is going on with Witcher 3 reviews? And I was just so blown away by how short The Witcher 3 reviews were, and a lot of people covering this video and what are this video game. And what I started to realize is a lot of people are resting on their laurels. And I knew that if I didn't, I would cause an issue for myself, which I'm going to talk about in a second. But I knew I absolutely couldn't, which is continually give as much data as possible. And what was going on is some people had been doing reviews long enough. Some companies have been doing reviews long enough that they were basically sitting on the fact that people were going to watch their stuff and believe whatever they said at the very end. Now, for me, the rating at the end is really just my belief of the money that I spent and what I think. The context within the review is important. One of the reasons why I still do categories, people will be like, hey man, I skipped the sound, and I'm all, bud, don't, because you never know what gameplay elements I'm going to talk about in sound, because sound is very important. And I get a lot of reviewers don't know how that works. And even I've made mistakes. But you can read up on it and understand it. It might take a while. Luckily enough, when I started this, I sort of knew some of that stuff. But you had these issues where these reviews were very short, and I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't figure out how in the hell are these reviews this short for this massive game? And a lot of context is missing in these reviews. And I realized right from them that one of the things I was going to do is, while I may change the format a little bit every, you know, couple months, sometimes I just forget to say something, and then that becomes a sort of a static thing in reviews. But I always believe that I'm just going to deliver as much data as I can. And what's going to happen is that's going to definitely result in some people leaving. And this is important for you if you're a video game reviewer or any type of YouTuber. If you do a lot of the same thing, at some point somebody will get bored of it. That's just the way the world works. Somebody may love Transformers 1, the movie. By the second one, they may like it. By the third one, they're sort of moving on, right? But that doesn't mean that the second and third one, even though that's a bad example because those aren't great movies, but you get my drift. The second and third one are there. It doesn't mean other people aren't coming in. And I'll get this myself. I'll get comments where people are like, you say 2 minutes long and Phil DeSponsa of bullshit, I don't like it anymore. And I'm like, okay, cool. Have fun. Go check somebody else out. There's a ton of reviewers out there. You should already be checking them out. Day one, you shouldn't even need me to tell you that. But additionally, they forget that new people are coming in all the time. We can't sit here and celebrate an industry that has new people buying systems every day. And by the way, I've said this in other reviews and in this podcast, people are fucking all the time. So that means every 9 months, a new kid is born, and there's a lot of people fucking in the world. So a lot of 9 months are eclipsing or happening every single second of the day. Kids are just popping out of vaginas all the time. And you have to realize that every time somebody pops out of a vagina, at some point they're going to get old enough that they might get a game system. And that person might replace you when it comes to being a fan for me, or when it comes to being a fan for a different video gamer.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So, or a different video game reviewer, or a different video game series, in fact. We'll talk about that later. But this all sort of came to a head. And the reason why I'm talking about this in sort of a open, more flexible kind of discussion today is because this all is what really, I think, identified how I was going to move forward. I had already had my initial plans, but I would say it solidified that those plans were working, and that I understood that what I was going to do was going to have some negatives and some positives, but the positives were going to vastly outweigh the negatives. The positive being that maybe somebody will say they don't agree, but they understand the context, which to me, I think that's great. I mean, there are some games that I'll hate and I can't believe somebody's buying them, but overall, I'll get it. When I understand my context and somebody's like, you know what? I wasn't bothered by this. I'm still going to play it. I can usually get behind that. And I knew that that was going to happen, and that was okay. But at the same time, I also knew that when people came away, most of the time, even if they disliked me over a period of time or disliked me right away, they were still not going to be able to complain and say I didn't give enough data. You know, may miss stuff. That's obvious. We talked about that just prior to this. But I knew that that was going to be an issue. And that's what I'm saying. When you create your channel, when you decide to become a Twitch streamer or a YouTuber, you not only need to create, but you need to look at what you're creating and verify it's working, not only for you, but for the people there, and how it might affect you long-term and short-term, and sort of continue to take notes on that mentally. I take notes on it physically. I actually have, or at least digitally, I actually have notepad open a lot, and I'll take notes on what's working, what's not, what I feel I didn't explain well, what I feel I explained very well, and what I want to hit next time, what people liked, what people didn't like, how they react to a review. And just one person, it doesn't mean if that one person absolutely loves it, I'll switch, because that would be idiotic. And it doesn't mean if just one person hates something, I'll switch. And it doesn't even mean if a bunch of people did, but you have to at least carry it with you and understand it, because I believe a decision made in the face of adversity with data is still a good decision. If you are under adversity and you're like, listen, this is still working for me and I want to do it, then that's fine. Additionally, when you're creating stuff, one of the things I always tell people is don't expect to get big right away. There are certain ways to do it that I think are possible, but could possibly burn you in the long run. But when it comes down to it, as long as you're delivering what you want to deliver, don't worry about becoming big right away. Those are the kind of things that I think get lost in the translation and certainly get lost in the time frame of, let's say, a channel that's been around for a couple months, because it can be very disheartening if you've been doing a bunch of stuff and maybe you had one really good hit and a bunch of not very good videos, and you look back at your numbers and you see your numbers are low. Low subscribers daily or low views on a video do not necessarily mean anything. This is something you will learn quite quickly, that it can be the time of day. For example, I know that releasing videos of any kind on Thursday, for me in particular, is a disaster. I don't know why, in any way, shape, or form. I've never been able to figure out. It's strange enough, I've talked to a couple other YouTubers who agree that for whatever reason, Thursday does not do well for them, even if they have 3-4 million subscribers. Something about Thursday does not work. It's interesting to me, but it is something that, again, you carry that data with you. Keep track of things. Keep track of what you're saying, how you say things, what people like, what they don't like, and what you like to do, because in the end, that's the most important. So moving on from there, we go through The Witcher, we do that, and then we jump to Life is Strange. Now, I'd already covered episodes 1 and 2 of Life is Strange and covering episode 3. And this is really, I think, the start of when people realize that I might look like a lumberjack, but I like some pretty diverse games, and I've never wanted to be a 17-year-old girl as much as I did when I played Life is Strange. That game was phenomenal. That series I absolutely loved. And this is, I think, the time when I did get some pushback, and people were like, man, can't believe you didn't review this or this game. You reviewed Life is Strange. And I'm like, dude, listen, sometimes I don't get codes. I don't think people realize it, but even now, at the size of the channel now, there's many codes I don't get. And it's not unheard of to not get codes. So sometimes you cover what you cover. Other times you cover what interests you. And then other times you just cover whatever randomly comes in. So Life is Strange came in. The Mighty Quest for Epic Loot. I did a cover video on that called, I think it was like What Might Have Been, which is where I covered a game that I thought was going to do well that didn't. And these were very fun games for me. They're side games. Invisible Ink I covered. The Curious Expedition, which has some really good ideas. I covered that. And this is all in the midst of Witcher 3. And this is why I think my desire to cover games has stayed high, because I am covering not only the games people want, the big games, the small games, but games that just interest me, even from a bad technical standpoint, where I'm looking at it going, how the hell did this get released? I think that's important. And especially when you move forward. This is also when I started the Kickstarter content videos. Now, Kickstarter was big at this time. You got to realize this is back in the mid-2015, this is when Kickstarter was getting a lot of games. And I started talking to some people on Kickstarter and saying, hey, you know what? Why don't you come on? Let's talk about your game. Those were fun. They were ultimately very low views, but they were fun for me to do because, number one, I got to meet very cool people. Matt Broom, for instance, who was head of the Sony development team when they were doing EverQuest, but also DC Universe Online when it was with Sony, and then went on to, now he's working on, Kinetic, which is a shooter. And I got to work with some other people. These were very fun videos because there was something on the side and I got to see what it's like when you have no support, but you want to go out there and you want to see something get made. And I think that's great. Those are the kind of videos that, especially if you want to be a video game maker, you definitely, or a video game, video maker, you definitely want to do. You definitely want to do those kind of things because they can keep you moving forward. This is also when we started getting into Batman, Arkham Knight. We were starting to get close and we were starting to hear all the problems with Batman. And at the time I was covering all kinds of stuff. I was covering the conferences. I was covering reviews. I did Lego Jurassic Park. And this is just a great time for me. It was a time where, like I said, everything started to fit together. But I also started to see some of the bad side. And let's talk about that now, especially when it comes to PR. So I had already known that, of course, PR owes you nothing, right? So you ask for a review code. I buy the games anyway, so it was no big deal if I don't get one. But you ask for the review code for the early coverage, because that's always nice. And they give them or they don't. But this is when I started to get lied to. Now, I say lied to, and I'm using those words because I, for a fact, know at least a couple companies that did, because their PR people don't work there anymore, and they informed me that they outright did do that. But when you look at some games, what would happen is I would do this. I would contact them and say, hey, you know what? I want to review a game for you. I want to review this game. This is what I can offer. These are the kudos I've got from various different, other companies. Even if I disliked a game, for instance, as we talk in later podcasts, there's been a couple games I really disliked various elements of, and I've had nothing but amazing developer discussions with the people in those bad games who are like, you know what? Keep doing exactly what you do. Those are actual issues. We'll fix them. No negatives there. But this is when I started to get something that was really peculiar. Instead of being told I might get a code or no answer, which happens all the time, and they don't deserve, or they don't, you have no right to get an answer. You'll see some people say, well, the least I could get is an answer. It sucks, but the honest truth is you might only have one or two PR people and they may have 500 emails a day. Is that out of the ordinary? No, by the way. That person who is on that team has to screen 500 channels. They have to go and look at your channel. They have to verify your content. They have to verify you haven't changed your content. Because what if you were doing one thing and now you're not anymore? They have to verify a ton of shit. You do not in any way, shape, or form deserve in any way, shape, or form a review response, a review code, or anything like that. But what I was starting to get was, we've got you lined up for sure. We've actually got digital codes ready. We're going to be sending them out. And I just need your data. So I'd give my data and then you'd get nothing. You'd get ghosted or Caspered. It depends on which type of response you'd get. And I found this sort of odd. It happened once or twice, happened with one or two big companies, which you guys have heard me bitch about in the past. But I was always a little confused by it, because I was like, when I would email, let's say a couple days prior, I'd be like, yeah, just checking in on this. No response. Just checking in on this. No response. I'd be like, huh, that's odd. And then a lot of times no response ever again. And, you know, I couldn't figure out what it was about. And then it dawned on me that it started when I started discussing that at times I was getting street broke games. So what happens is a lot of stores, especially mom and pop stores, this happened with Remnant. It happened with Greedfall. I'm just giving the recent ones. It's happened with a ton of games 2 weeks early, a week early. It happened with Witcher, week and a half early. This game will be at a store, and sometimes that store will sell it early. And I do have some people around me who would sell to me early. So I'd get a street date game. What I found out from a PR person who doesn't work at a major company that you hear about every day, who now is out of the business completely, but is still somebody I have contact with, is that what they would do is say, yeah, we have a code for you, purposely holding your time, and then had no plans whatsoever to give you a code. Now, do I find that that's a poor business tactic? Not necessarily. They get to stop you from, let's say, playing a game. They don't do this anymore, but they could, let's say, hold a code or hold a patch back so you're playing an unpatched version. Usually patches go up prior, but ignoring that for a second, it is a pretty backhanded way of doing things, but I can't say I necessarily disagree with it, or necessarily, I'll just say this, I can't necessarily say that I don't understand how it's happening. For instance, if you get a lot of reviewers, a lot of video game websites absolutely attacking a company will put up the defenses. That's the way it is. Even if there's no real reason, this is something that you can look at as normal humans do. If somebody attacks you for no reason, you put up the defenses regardless if it's a reason or not, because those defenses need to be in place. And these defenses were in place because people were starting to get attacked and developers were starting to get attacked. And so sometimes the PR people would be like, we just don't want to hear Carrick's word on the game at all, because maybe they thought I was going to attack a season pass. So they were all, boom, we're just not going to give them a code, but we're going to pretend we are. So I quickly learned how to work around that, which is get the street broken game anyway. Absolutely get it anyway, every time, regardless if they tell you that they have a code. That's something that I stand by and I will do pretty much as long as I can. But it was interesting to start to see these things. It was interesting to talk to some of these PR people and see how they were done. So as I started working, we started to see Batman Arkham Knight. We started to see that there were some issues there. Some preview events coming out. There was some problems with the performance, and then the game gets released. Now, luckily enough, as is normal with PC titles, I didn't have issues. And I don't mean normally that I don't. I mean normal with PC issue, PC problems, especially PC games, is sometimes your performance is different. You don't have a standard platform. PS4 has a standard CPU and GPU and hard drive for every single one, unless they replace their hard drive, which we'll talk about in a while, especially when we talk about the PS5 and the Xbox One having SSDs. But the little question there about what happens when you try to add storage to those and it's not a great hard drive, which is going to affect performance. So these are all really important. And I started to see a lot of problems being reported with Batman. Luckily, I didn't have those issues. But Batman Arkham Knight comes out on PC. It's got enough problems that they remove it. They just absolutely remove it, which was a crazy time. One of the few games we've seen that's got removed from Steam for its technical issues. And I think that that was one of those times where behind the scenes, I was hearing things from people who not only worked in the industry, but people who were reviewing games, people who were playing the games, and just to get to see the behind the scenes. I took note of all that stuff. And again, I tell you, you definitely should as well. Things you hear, just sort of understand where everybody's coming from and understand where some of the lies come from, because whether it's a PR person, a developer, a YouTuber, what have you, people will say what they say and you're not 100% sure what the exact truth is. So I say the same thing even when it comes about my stuff. Don't just 100% believe me. Go out and find a couple other reviews and see, you know, what context you can get, because you never quite know exactly in what filter you're getting that data. So it was very interesting to live through that Warner Brothers pulling of Batman, the technical issues that came about, all of the problems there. It was one of those times when, and we've seen this now a couple more times, where a company was just over-promising and under-delivering greatly. But then I came off of that and I did Contradiction, Spot the Liar, one of the best full motion games ever made, an absolute blast to play. Didn't do well on video views at all. But this was such a great time because I got to talk to the creator of this and sort of discuss with him the current, the current culture in which games are released. FMV considered very old. Luckily, we just had Erica, which was very good. We also had that one Telling Lies game, which unfortunately I haven't got to play, but I think it reviewed well. And FMV at the time was certainly looked down on more than it is now. And it's sort of seen its ebb and flow, but I got to do Contradiction, Spot the Liar. Really enjoyable game. If you like Erica, if you like Telling Lies, you should go check out Contradiction. Amazing game for that style. But I got to play it and there was that defrag moment that I always talk about, where you're doing one thing and then you break out of it to do something else and your brain just lights on fire. It's that moment where you're like, oh, this is so nice. You know, I'm doing something different. And Contradiction was so different than, let's say, Batman, where Batman was the complexity of these gameplay cycles that repeated and different things that you needed to do and jumping in the tank and then going and doing collectibles. And then you play Contradiction, which is looking at people on a screen and trying to figure out if they're lying. It was such a good time. And this is something that's never really gone away for me, is the idea of gathering whatever happiness you can from what you're doing. And I think that that's vital. I think it's super important to gather whatever happiness you can and move on. Continue creating, as I said before. This is vital for anybody who's doing this kind of stuff. No matter what issues you may have, just keep creating. Just keep putting out content and trying to do better at the same time. But also just trying to sort of, I think, mentally defrag by making sure that you don't get too stuck in a rut. Make sure you don't get too stuck in your channel views or anything like that, because I got to tell you, it can be rough. I've talked to other YouTubers who do well and then they're not, and there's that rough moment where you're having that come into God speech with them and you're just like, dude or dudette, whoever you're talking to, you're just like, you got to move on, man. You got to move on, because there's going to be a rough time for everybody. There's going to be a disheartening time for everybody, whether it be not getting a code, whether it be a personal issue, you're having a divorce, something horrible happens in your life, or somebody doesn't like your game review, or, you know, any of a thousand other things that can happen. But you got to keep moving forward. You absolutely have to, because if you don't, it's quite easy to stagnate. And I think that's what I'll end with, is that, you know, I started the channel and I did a lot of interviews with people. Skilled Media is one of the ones that I genuinely cherish, that guy. He did a lot of interviews with me. He tried his hardest. He had amazing content. He had incredibly high bitrate video. He was well ahead of his time when it comes to tech. And I'm sure you guys remember me. We had him on the podcast. Matter of fact, we had him on the podcast sort of like as a, I guess you would say, a de facto main person that would come on the podcast. This was a time when I was sort of starting this out, trying to figure out everything. And Skilled Media was, he was such a great guy. Ended up, it just didn't work out for him. And it goes to show you that you can put everything together as well as you possibly can, and it may not work. And I never got to talk to him. I still talk to him occasionally. I think it's been like almost 6 months to 9 months since I talked to him on email, though, because he's in the middle of school. But I'll have to actually email him after this. But when it comes to knowing when to pull the plug on something like this, what I always tell people is never get into the position to where you have to. Never get into that position. Get, you know, keep your job. I got laid off, guys. This isn't, it's, I don't know where I'd be if I didn't get laid off. I was making incredibly good money prior to being laid off. And I've always been known to work really hard. I was doing some side reviews, but I don't know if I would have been able to put out the content that I put out while I was working. So I don't know if it ever would have taken off. And what I always tell people is don't think of it as a career. You can't. You can't. In fact, I think of it as me telling Cadiz or my friends what I think of a game every time I review. That's quite literally what I do. And the reason why that is because it keeps it personalized and it keeps it feeling like it's just me talking to a friend versus a very rigmarole kind of thing. You absolutely have to do that. It's vital. And when you get behind the scenes and you hear these things that are dragging you down and these problems, if you have an outlet, like you're still working, those kind of things, then this can actually help because you can bounce back easier. It's hard to bounce back if this is your only way of making money. And I warn people, I'm like, this is a black hole. We're going to talk about tech in probably the next podcast. And I talked about it a little bit in the last one. The tech itself can be incredibly expensive if you want to cover games well. If you want to just grab an Elgato, that's fine. They're sort of shit, but that's fine. You can grab an Elgato and you can just throw it on there and you can grab some low bitrate video and put it up. But it won't necessarily allow you to be defined above just everyone else. To do that, you need a lot of skill and you need a good deal of luck. And I think when it comes to somebody like Skilled Media, he can show you that with all those things, you can still unfortunately not make it. And it's really sad because I dig that dude. Just one of the greatest people. I'm going to talk about some of the other podcast people we have. And I guess that would be my last little bit. You know, surround yourself with the people you like and everybody else just jettison. That's what I do. I never look back. Like there's people I really like who I've seen their stuff and I like working with them. And they're like my go-to people and everything else is just drama on the wayside and you have to move past it. It's really vital that you do. And realize that this is just such a small thing. People die every day. They're murdered. People are raped. The world's a terrible place at times. Those are real. But a review in this kind of situation probably doesn't matter that much. And you have to keep that open mind. So anyway, that's it for me. I know this one was a little bit meandering, but that's because I wanted to talk about just how everything was starting to come together, some of the different interactions I had with the different people in the industry. The next one, we are going to start to dive into what fall of 2015 looked like. Sorry, my neighbor just decided to start a fucking lawnmower. It's raining and there's a lightning storm. And this jackass is out here probably wearing a tinfoil fucking hat mowing his lawn. Not the smartest people in the world. Anyway, so I'm going to wrap this up. I appreciate everybody watching this. If you get a chance, spread the word, put a tweet out, put it on your Facebook. Absolutely come by Patreon if you can. It helps the channel immensely. Also, if you subscribe to anywhere that allows for reviews for this podcast, please review it. If you go to iTunes, please review it on iTunes. It absolutely helps. Having reviews, you do not understand. It helps immensely having reviews. So anyway, that is it for me. I hope you guys absolutely enjoy everything about your days. If you don't, you're doing something wrong. Peace out and enjoy the rest of your week.